And we're back. When it comes to, like, for example, a man, like, let's say you guys are in a relationship. How long after the relationship then comes the marriage? Like, at what point? And I know you don't like time. I know that's like a thing for you. Like, I've noticed it. But as a couple, let's say they're aligned. Let's say they're both on the same page. The woman is not pressuring the man, or vice versa, because some men, some, not many, but some men are ready to get married, and the woman is like, I'm not ready. At what point of them being aligned do you feel in the relationship does the question come, okay, I think I'm ready for the next step, which is marriage?
Man, I tell you this, and this is from a personal experience, right? Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Like, when it comes to timeline, yeah, definitely try to stay away from that. But in terms of like days and months or years, right? But I'll tell you this: when I, because as you know, I am married. What I told myself that was when, I realized that, or I learned, and we had a very deep conversation, me and my now wife, but at the time we weren't. And it was about the fact that time is important to a woman, and that's kind of why, just if the whole context of our conversation, like for you sort of like stress timeline, right? In terms of like days and months or years, right? Because time is important to women, and I'll tell you why. I learned this from just like talking to my now wife. But women have an agenda in life, right? I've come to learn that.
Biological clock.
What was that?
No, I said biological clock.
Right. So yes, that's what it kind of rotates around, right? But they have agenda. They have that, okay, I'm gonna be married at this time, I'm gonna have kids at this time, I'm gonna buy a home by this time, and I'm gonna do that by that time, right? Like most women have an agenda in life, and they try to meet that timeline, right? Because they know that they don't have a whenever time. Guys could get somebody pregnant in their 70s, right? So guys doesn't necessarily have an agenda, right? For a guy, it's just really about like being successful and having money, right? But it's really no owning a home and that life, right? That kind of fairy tale life, or that you grow up to learn, where you have a home and you have a family, and that guys, that is not on a guy's mind, right? All that's on a guy's mind is becoming successful, right? And kids are not even the first thing on most guys' mind, right? So with that being said, going back to your question, with me learning that, when I found out that, dang, I need to make that commitment to my wife, is when I realized that, because time is so important to her, she's only willing to invest so long in the possibility of me. That's deep, I just said, right? So
No, I get it. I
she's
understand.
oh right. So she's only willing to say, hey, dude, I can't wait around forever for you. So I'm gonna give you until this time. Right? And if you don't show me any signs that you are ready to take our relationship to the next level, then it's gonna make me question myself based on my agenda, and I'm gonna want to look other places, right? So you need to decide whether I'm important enough for you to say, okay, you know what? I don't want to wait around no more. Let's do it. I want your eyes to only be on me, right? So for me, that was the reality of my situation, where I asked myself, I remember sitting down and asking myself, man, am I okay with, because honestly, I would have been fine with not being married at all and just have still living life and being with her having kids and doing all the stuff, right? The picket fence and the how the home and the business or whatever, right? But because I know that her agenda is so important to her, and I know that she's only willing to invest so long in the possibility of me, I had to ask myself, okay, if my time is up with her, am I okay with her walking away from me? That's the deep question I had to ask myself, right? Am I okay if time run out, if my time run out on her, and she now is at the point where she's saying, you know what, maybe this is not going to happen. Let me start looking other places, right?
Yeah.
Am I willing to see her fall in somebody else's arm? And that means, am I willing to live the rest of my life without her? And when I realized that answer was a hard no, that's when I sort of decided, okay, I need to cop. I need to show her that I am committed to this and committed to a lifetime with her, right? So even though I know that, hey, in my mind, I am committed to a lifetime with her, I need to take this step to show her that I am serious about it.
Yeah. And honestly, I think that's what you call love. I feel like a man, like you said, you are okay with literally just being with her and being committed to her in your mind. And as long as you had her in the white picket fence, you were fine with that. But the fact that you saw her and you heard her and you understood her, like, and it's kind of like some people don't like, you know, ultimatums, but you didn't take it as that. You took that as a time for self-reflection, and you saw that as a, damn, I really love this person. And I can't see myself without this person. So if this is what she's asking me for, this is what I'm going to give her. So I can be with this person for the rest of my life, although I'm already there in my head.
Right.
But if this is what she needs, then this is what I'm going to give
exactly.
her.
Exactly.
And that, I feel like that's what you call love, man. That's definitely.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah. So and that's what it is, right? Like, I feel like, you know, like, okay, so a woman has this thing where they say, if I'm dating, no, not dating, sorry. If I'm engaged to somebody for like 5 years, then that marriage is not going to happen. Right? And a lot of women believe that. Like, there is a timeline. Not necessarily 5 years. I'm just throwing that number out there. But like, a lot of women believe that after a certain time of being engaged, if you don't take that next step, then you're never going to take that step. And maybe I do need to start looking elsewhere. You see what I'm saying? Like, and a lot of guys don't get that or understand that. And they feel like, okay, me being engaged to you should be enough. But realistically not. You know why it's not? It's because women know that guys, women know that it's easier for a guy to spread his seed and to continue to spread his seed.
I would say that being engaged for 5 years and 10 years and 7 and 15, and I feel like that was just like a hush ring. Like, you would leave me if I didn't propose, so here you go.
Yeah, no. Exactly. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is, right? And a lot of guys will try to do that, you know, because it in a sense, like you said, it's the hush ring, kind of satisfy what you're looking for, satisfy what I'm looking for, and for a woman who really wants something, that's not enough, because like you still have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, right? And, you know, like she can take the steps on her agenda, the next step on her agenda, knowing that you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Like, you're putting her in a hard spot, right? Like, how can I go now with that promise ring, because that's really what it is. How can I go now to invest in a family, knowing that you have one foot in and one foot out, right?
Like we could always separate during the engagement, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, for a woman, it's a symbolic thing for you to show her that, hey, I'm not just talking when I say I'm gonna stay with you. Right. I really mean it, and I'm gonna profess. Right. That's why I said one of the things that women value is professing your love. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna profess my love in front of all these people. To prove to you that I'm serious, and it's not just a conversation me and you have in person or in secret.
Yeah. Most men, God, they don't realize that, and if they do, it takes them too long to figure it out. Would you say 10 years is too long to wait for a proposal? Without circumstances.
You mean for engagement?
For a proposal, yes, to be engaged. Without, you know, any other circumstances, without, oh, we were, you know, up and down and we had arguments and this year we weren't great and this and that. Without all of that, do you think 10 years, would you wait 10 years to propose to someone?
From a guy's perspective, that's a deep question. I gotta make sure I answer it correctly here. Or logically, I should say. From a guy's perspective, it wouldn't be a waiting thing. Like, a guy wouldn't think I'm waiting to propose to you. Meaning that, unless he's waiting to buy her a valuable ring, right? Like that's different. If I'm waiting to be able to afford the ring I feel like you deserve, then yeah, it is a waiting thing. But 10 years does seem, especially if you're someone who values marriage, it does seem very excessive, and I'm sure society would look on that as being too long. Especially if marriage is the goal. But remember, like, not everybody values marriage. Right?
Yeah. Like, and that's exactly why you need to be aligned.
Some people think marriage is just you getting the government involved in your business. Like that's literally how some people look at it, where some people it has religious meaning to them. Yeah. Right? And others, people have different meanings. So it really depends on how you look at marriage. But if you look at it as something important, something like of significance, something moral, something of life, something that you were born to be eventually, then 10 years is very excessive. But if you're somebody who doesn't value marriage, who just sees it as an agreement with that you sign on paper, which again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. It just means that you just don't see the point of it if you really love the person. If you're that person, then what is 10 years to a lifetime, right? That's kind of what your perspective would be. What is 10 years to an entire lifetime? Right. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're somebody who just marriages whatever, right? You know, like you don't see any significance in it, then in your mind, if you feel like you love this person enough and that person loves you, obviously it would have to be both of y'all would have to have the same perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then 10 years is nothing, right? And when it happens, it happens. But like I said, if it's not, right, and both of you value marriage and you see marriage as the ultimate goal, which I think it's safe to say most people in society does, then yeah, that's very acceptable.
I don't know. I don't think the younger generation is too keen on marriage, and I've been seeing it a lot. I'm not gonna lie. I don't think they see the value in it.
I
I don't
know
think they
they
see the importance in it. I think they definitely see it as a role thing. Like, oh, why would I marry a woman when all she's gonna do is come in? I'm gonna take care of her, and then in the event, granted, we get divorced, now I'm literally giving her everything. Like, I'm giving, and what is she bringing to the table? I cannot stand a man who asks a woman, what is she bringing to the table, especially right away. Like, I feel like if you're genuinely getting to know a person, you're gonna see what they bring to the table. You're gonna see that. And not only that, once you like actually fall in love with that person, like, what more than love? Besides, if you guys are looking to build an empire, if you guys are looking to start a business and build wealth and be a successful couple, if you guys are looking for that and you're looking for a woman who brings those things into your life, then yeah, then you want to ask, okay, well, how can you help me do this? How can I help you do that? You have a business already. What can I do to help you further that business? What can I do to help it be more successful? Or can you do this to help me, make us more successful? But
Right.
definitely, I don't think the younger generation believes in marriage. I want to just going back briefly, and then I'm gonna come back. I think that within a year, you're still in the of a relationship, you're still in the honeymoon phase for sure. I personally don't like the term, or I don't want to say I don't like the term, the honeymoon phase, but I definitely don't think it should end. I think that when you're in love with a person, you saying, oh, we're not in the honeymoon phase anymore, like, that's just an excuse. Continue to love on the person that you fell in love with. Continue to do the same things. Continue to show up. Continue to be consistent. That's how you're going to keep them. The way you're going to lose them, the quickest way to lose them is by switching up and changing. To me, anyway. To me, like, that's just me. But I think
I feel that.
within 2 to 3 years, you should know that you like, yeah, this is it. And I would say the max is 4. I'm not waiting 5 years for somebody to propose to me. I'm not, because then I'm gonna know we're not aligning, and your main goal is not marriage, and maybe it's not right now. And if it's not right now, you need to let me know that. And if that's the case, then you'll be okay with not being with me right now. Because guess what? 5 to 10 years from now, when you're ready, I'm not gonna want kids anymore.
Right,
Not. Because then I'm gonna be a lot older. And then by the time I'm in my late 40s and 50s, I'm not gonna wanna deal with no newborn baby. Like, what are you saying to me? Like, that's not it. And like you said, that goes back to women having an agenda. We do have a biological clock, and it takes a smart man, an understanding man, to see that, and to say, you know what, this is what she needs. Yes, I want to be successful, but let me give her what she needs, because this is the person I want to be with, but that's just me. How do you, what are the three main reasons you think people get married or decide to get married?
Well, obviously it's different for man and woman, right? But I think if I should put them together, what they have in common is, I would say, security, right? Definitely you want to feel secure in the person that you're with, and you want to make sure that that person is also secure in you. Secure meaning that, you have somebody who's gonna be by your side, right? always, like, we all need, I think people subconsciously are scared to be alone, because we kind of, so that's the thing, right? We fool ourselves with the illusion of reality, that we let me just rephrase that. We fool ourselves with the illusion of friends and family, that we're not alone, but at the end of the day, most would say we were born alone and therefore we're gonna die alone, right? So people are they're afraid of lonesome, and I think having someone who you always feel is with you, that gives you that sense of security. I think that's one of the biggest things why people get married, somebody who can go through the life experiences with you and sort of have your back and you have theirs. The next reason I think people get married for is stability. I think a lot of people find that relationships oftentimes when you're dating are very unstable and your situation changes all the time. For some people that may be okay, but for others it's not. Some people like consistency and some people value consistency. And so therefore they want to know that every day they can plan, right? Because that's what stability brings, right? With stability, you can plan on stability. It's sort of like having a job that tips you versus a job that gives you a steady income, right? The job that tips you, you can't really build anything from that because your tip fluctuates, right? But if you have a job that gives you a steady income, then you can start planning on what you do with that money, right? So stability is definitely another factor why I think people get married. And then I don't know, the last reason, if I should come up with
You're not
one.
curious tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I would say, the last one would really just be religiously, right? I think that's one of the last biggest reasons why anyone would get married, because they feel like they are. It's ordained by
That's right.
God for them to be married, right? So those are like my three biggest reasons. Hopefully that makes sense.
It does. I love the fact that you explained it because when you started off, I was like, oh. And then we went to the second one, I was like, oh God. But you explaining them makes way much more sense. And I only said that because I was gonna say that some people do tend to get married for the benefit of it. Like they're not secure. They feel like you said, they're alone and things like that. They're not stable. They want security. So when it comes to that, it's like I'm out here in the world by myself. I see a person who, loves me. I see a person who has proposed to me, and I'm gonna take that as my opportunity to now. And this is, a small percentage of people, but I'm gonna take that as my opportunity to let this man, shower me, or not shower me, but to take care of me, to provide for me, and I don't have to worry about anything. So when you stated those first two, I was like, oh Lord. But then when you explained them, I got it. So I do agree with that. I want to say, I'm not going to hit three, but I will say for me personally, I would like to think that people get married for love. I would love to get married for love. Only because I am a hopeless romantic, and I know I probably shouldn't be because the world has taught me so much, but and how people are. But I'm definitely I don't think I'll ever stop being a hopeless romantic. Like I don't think I'll ever stop being that companionship.
I don't disagree with that one. That's a good one. I think, and not to cut your answer, because I know you're kind of still in it, but
It's okay.
I think Getting married. Okay, so I would say yes, it fits in the category of one of the reasons why people get married, because they are in love, right? But I don't think it should. I think oftentimes what happens is that,
It shouldn't be only, yeah, for
right,
sure.
I think people who get married because of love, most of the time they're only focused on that factor.
Like, I love you so much, but love
Right.
isn't always enough. And I've
It's
said this to people. Love is not all. Love don't pay bills. Love is not like the end all be all. Like, you can be in love with a person, but can they, like, I don't want to say provide for you, but can they provide with your household? So for
right.
example, you have a job, they have a job. Are you guys able to successfully pay your bills together and not be in debt or not,
Right.
be
Stability.
worried about? Exactly. So yes, definitely. When it comes to things like that. So you can love a person inside out,
Yeah.
but if they don't have a job or a good paying job, like, what's the point of us getting married when we're gonna have to live on an air mattress at your mom's house?
Right, and that's one of the reasons why I didn't say love, right? Because I think love is definitely one of the most obvious answers, right? But that's, and I'm not saying I didn't say it because it's wrong. I just didn't mention it because I feel like if anything, it should be like not, I don't want to say one of the last reasons, but it should be like not the
The
only
obvious.
factor,
Yeah.
right? Like it shouldn't, because like I said, most people when they marry for love, it really just is genuine love, and it's that fairy tale thing, right? Where that Disney sells people, you're gonna live happily ever after, right? Some for
Yeah.
some way you're gonna in some way you're gonna have stability, in some way you're gonna have security, right? But you can have love and not have stability or security, right? And not do it religiously. Now, let's say you get married with only stability, right? I guess when you really look at all of them, I think they're all important because you
Intertwined,
want
yeah,
a
beautiful.
combination, right? You want a combination of all those reasons, right? Why you get married. You don't want one or the other, because if you get married with just stability, then what about the security part, right? What about the love part, right? What about the religious part, right? If religion is important to you. Yeah, so I guess really and truly, they're all good reasons why people get married, but there should never, I think what we're agreeing to here is that there should never be just for
Just one.
one of those reasons. It should be like a combination of all.
For
Yeah,
sure.
I think that's what it is. That makes sense.
So, what do you think is one reason that people get divorced?
I think people, honestly, because it's an option.
Really?
I think, yeah, it's sort of like, if you, okay, think consider this, right? Let me give you an analogy. I put you in an escape room. You ever been in an escape room before?
No, but I watched both movies.
Okay. Well, an escape room is usually like a game that they have where they put you in a room and you have to solve a series of puzzles to unlock the door to get out, right? But in every escape room, legally, they have a door you can just open and get out of, right?
Got you.
So what I'm saying is that because that door is there, it doesn't make people. Like people will try it for the fun, of course, right? But they always know that if they get tired of this game, they can
I
get
can
just
leave.
walk out that door. You see what I'm saying? So because divorce is an easy option, and especially when it comes to women, because I think women divorce men more than men divorce women, right? For women, they seem to gain from divorce, right?
The man makes more money.
Right. Or yeah.
Or
So
has more.
in America, society, it benefits the woman better, than the guy does, even if the fields is equal, right? The woman is going to get to keep the house, right? The guy is going to pay alimony, right? Like, most of the time, not all, it benefits the woman more than it does for the guy. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like, and that's why a lot of guys don't even want to begin get married, because they're like, oh my God, American society, it's going to benefit the woman more than the guy. But what I'm trying to say is, I feel like, because remember, like, I feel like divorce is higher in America.
It is, for sure.
And it's because of that reason, right? It's so easy to get it, and it's so easy to escape. Other cultures, it's more than just filing a legal document. It's way more than that. You're violating. It's on a religious level, which makes it way more significant, right? Mm-hmm. And something. Yeah, it means way more than just a piece of paper that you file for and you're no longer bonded together, right? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, they don't have that easy door, like the escape room, to walk through. Yeah. They're like, it's almost not even an option for them to walk through that door, right? So that's why I say, I think most people, the number one reason why most people get divorced is because in America, because we have to stay relevant, that's where we are, it's easy for them to, it's an option that they can take if things get hard, right? If things get hard. And let's be honest, like, for a lot of people, if they know there's a cheat sheet when things get hard, they're going to use the cheat sheet.
Yeah.
They're going to use it. Like, why wouldn't they?
Yeah. Some people don't know how to work through it. And honestly, that's what marriage is really about, is the through thick and thin and sickness and health. So honestly,
some people just say that line, you know?
Yeah. And not actually sit there and this is what this means. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a very literal person. Like, I'm going to study it. But, I feel like, I guess I'm a little bit different when it comes to that. I don't ever plan to get married to get a divorce. Like, I'm a more of a stickler when it comes to that. Like, I'm not getting married to get a divorce. That's not my mindset. Some people see that as an option and say, okay, well, I'm going to take this route if it gets hard, if this happens or if that happens. And I've always said, like, If a person, or if your spouse comes to you, man or woman, whichever one comes to you, you know, or comes for in a relationship or in the marriage and say, this is what I'm having difficulty with. I need us to work towards this. I need us to, in actuality, and fix it. You know, I need us to work towards this as a whole, as a unit. And if one of the spouses decides, I heard that, but I'm going to put it on the back burner, and they're continuously telling their spouse, I need this to be worked on. I'm doing my part. I need you to do your part. And it's still not being, you know, reciprocated. I think that if the other spouse who was coming forward ends up, you know, stepping out or anything like that, it's easy for the spouse who got cheated on to say, you know what? I'm going to leave. You cheated on me. How dare you cheat on me? When in actuality, they came to you. They were telling you, and not to make an excuse, but then now divorce is thrown in there. When really, had we fixed this, had we gone to therapy if needed, had we sat there and worked it out when I asked, we wouldn't even be here. So now we got to start literally from the beginning with, you know, the hurt. But I think some people don't even want to go through that because they refuse to take accountability, or they refuse to, you know, look at themselves. And again, you got to learn those things from dating a person. Will they take accountability? Mm-hmm. Will this be a person that you're able to talk to work through things with before it even gets to that point? I think the number one reason for divorce now, especially in America, is finances, is money. Because when it comes down to it, what we see, you know, all these big shiny things and, oh, this person has a mansion, this person has a Maserati, this person has this person has that. we want those things, you know, and then we're working to get those things, but then we're working to a dead end because what are we really, you know, getting paid? How many hours are we putting into that? And let's say, for example, one of the spouses isn't making as much, and or someone, you know, gets sick or they can't work, or it gets to the point where someone quits their job to go back to school. You know, when there's an issue in finances, that can be a huge blow to a marriage. And I think that's one of the main things.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Definitely financial struggles is a factor. Especially when one was doing better than the other to begin with. And the one that who was doing better starts feeling like they're being pulled down, right? Or held back. You know, if you're both on the same financial level, then I don't think it's necessarily a factor unless you start valuing that stuff more, right? Like, for example, if I'm poor and my wife is poor, then that's how we met each other. So that means, like, I'm not saying it will never happen, but for me to leave her because she doesn't have any money and I start making more money, it will be kind of crazy. You see what I'm saying? Now, if yeah. I'm... Sorry, what was that?
Yeah, no, I said I understand.
Yeah, so, but if I have money, right, and my wife doesn't, and I kind of, you know, in the beginning of our marriage, I'm trying to help her out and she's not helping herself, and I feel like eventually just, you know, because some guys are okay with the wife just being a housewife, right? But say, like, that's not a thing for me, and I want, like, my wife to not just depend on my income or whatever, right? I want her to help herself or whatever the case may be, or even vice versa, right? If that's the case, then I feel like the one person could feel like, okay, you're financially, like, living. It's like I'm taking care of you. Like, especially when a woman look at it, like, traditionally, guys would be okay with taking care of their wives, right? But when you flip that card around and it's a woman taking care of a man, she's not going to want to take care of no man. That's going to feel like a child to her. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's when resentment and things come into play.
Right, right. So, you know, whereas if she met the guy, if she was poor and she met the guy poor, right, and then she came up, then she might not look at it like that. She might just really be trying to help him get up. But again, it all comes back down to if he's going to help himself. So I think there's definitely various situations when it comes to, like, the financial aspect of it. But I really feel like at the end of the day, it shouldn't be a reason morally why people should divorce each other, right? But sadly, it is one of the main reasons, like you said, especially in American society where people are materialistic, which, like you said, it comes back down to the initial phase, right? You find that out about your partner. You find out that do they value these things? Do they value this lavish lifestyle? You know that from their dating / relationship phase, if the person is about that, right? If they present themselves, if you find a girl and she presents herself as this high maintenance girl, and you can't blame her for wanting to divorce you if you're not living up to the standard that you propose to live up to her. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I feel that. So this is my last.
Yeah,
I know. This is my last question. So in a marriage, what do you feel are some things that the couple can do to pretty much keep it fresh or to keep it, you know, pretty much keep it how it's supposed to be? Or to spice it up, what are some things that you feel like a couple could do?
I think one of the biggest things, if I could step outside of my marriage and tell my wife and myself, like if I was another person and I'm advising my wife and myself, I would say to keep an open mind, right? And that goes across a lot of things, right? Because you have to understand that things in time change, life changes, people go through phases, right? And so therefore you have to keep an open mind to adventure. You have to keep an open mind to suffering, like maybe the person is going through something, right? You have to keep a mentality that says, hey, we're going through life together, let's be understanding, right? And so with that being said, how do you keep it prominent? I think with that open mentality, always try to do new things, you know, never be set on, because the thing is that I think what gets a lot of people is routine. Routine is a killer, right? People fall into the routine and it becomes boring because nothing is new. Nothing is, you know, when you just met this person, everything was new, right? But now, right, that comes at what I'm saying, pretty much aligns with being spontaneous, right? Everything was new. Everything was different. You're showing her different experiences and so forth. But after a while, it's like you get to know each other so much because you're around each other so much. So I actually started writing this this journal, Life Hacks, if you want to put it like that, right? And I would write in my journal, one of the things I write was, you know, as a man, what to do to keep your marriage going is have your own life outside of your marriage. Right? And what I mean by that is like continue pursuing what you want to pursue. Do things, do whatever hobbies you have, whatever interests you have, do those things, and it will keep her interested. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is stay interested. Make yourself be interested still, right? And you're not going to be interested by doing the same things that she knows you do, right? Also, be missed, right? Make her miss you. And that means don't be up and around each other all the time, every time, right? I guess you said before, do something spontaneous. Be adventurous, right? Take her to different places, experience different things. And all that kind of falls under the umbrella of being open-minded, right? And that's what it comes down to. Like, it's just really avoiding routine. That's really, if I should summarize it in one sentence, that's what I would say, right? To keep your marriage going, avoid routines. And look, it's not easy. I'm not gonna say it's easy. It's not. Like, being around someone all the time, it's hard to surprise them with something different. You know what I'm saying? But it's definitely something that you want to keep in mind and keep working towards, right? Because eventually, once you put your mind on it, you eventually start doing it more and more and more. You get what I mean?
I do. I like that. I definitely feel like, I mean, I know I haven't been married before, but I definitely agree with you. That is, when it comes to routine, that's definitely a relationship killer. You don't always want to do the same things, you know? You want to really spice it up. You want to make sure you're doing different things. You're going on dates. And if you have kids, you want to make sure you have a babysitter sometimes, you know? And then after COVID, obviously, a lot of people now are ordering in and they're not, you know, going out to eat. They're not actually going out to dinner on the weekends. I feel that's another thing, you know? Go out sometimes. Like, you don't always have to be in the house. That routine thing is definitely a killer. And yeah, I would definitely stay away from that.
Yeah, because even for myself, right, I'm not perfect, right? So obviously, like I said, not being in a routine is hard. Like me and my wife, we work from home. We're always each other, right? But we literally barely interact during the daytime because of like us always being in the house, right? Most of the time, because we work, for a living. So, and then, having kids and so forth, sometimes it's hard to find time for each other, So it's not something that's easy, and that's why it's so common for people to fall into routine, because it's not easy to be around somebody and not fall into a routine for that long. So you always want to write down ideas to, it's like I call it effortful thinking, right? You want to always make yourself think about ways of kind of, like you say, spice things up by falling out of routine. Right, because it's not going to come natural. Routine is what comes natural, not that, right? And believe it or not, while I'm saying this to you, is I'm currently practicing that myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, just being interesting, staying relevant, right? Having different conversation, meeting different people, experiencing new things together. Maybe get a couple massage, maybe like go on a vacation, go on a nude beach, go, you know what I'm saying, like do different things, right, that you will experience and share with each other. And one of the biggest things I actually see also is like learning, picking up different hobbies, right? When you pick up different hobbies, then you stay interested because it's something that you've never done before, and that's a part of you that the person has never seen before, right? So that's what it is. Like, it really comes back down to just staying relevant, staying interesting, not falling in a routine. And if you can master that, which is not easy to master, right? Staying romantic, right? Not always making, like, that's one of the biggest things I think for guys, right? Like, not always like having sex. Like that might be controversial, but hear me out for a second. Like sometimes, how, like for a guy, when you're single, you kind of have to work for it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it should be the same thing when you're married. Like, just because you're married, don't expect your wife to give it up whenever you want it. I think that's one of the biggest things that make women not want to have as much sex as they used to when they weren't dating, when they were dating, right? So when you just start dating in a relationship, you guys have plenty of sex, right? But when you're married, for most people, tend to decrease, right? And most of the times, the reason could be various things, but more often than not, it's the woman no longer wants like to have sex because she feels like now it's that something that she has to give up, like it's her obligation as a wife. And men might argue and say, that's true, you're my wife, you have to give me sex, right? It is a responsibility, but as a guy, to keep your marriage going, you don't want your wife to just have sex every time you want it. You want to keep it where you're working. It's a reward. You want to keep it as a reward, right? For doing something, right? Just like when you were first dating. She gives you sex because you did something romantic, because you made her feel this way, right? Women are, it's emotions that does it. It's not just not making it a chore is what I'm trying to say, because that's what it eventually becomes in a marriage. Like sex to women become a chore that husbands feel like they have to do, right? So
Damn.
yeah, it's true. So you want to make sure that you it's something that she rewards you with, right? And if you and that kind of helps you to stay interested, because now you're going to do things to get that reward. You get what I'm saying? And you're going to keep on
I see.
doing that.
Yeah, I can see that. That's a hard. That's a hard one. I'm not gonna lie. That's a very hard pill to swallow, I guess, for me, and maybe for some of the listeners too.
What do you
Especially
mean?
for some women.
What do you mean by hard? Like, what do you mean? Like, explain.
You saying like. Not to have as much sex like in the marriage just to keep it interesting. I get that from a point of view of you're not getting tired of the same person because essentially this is for the rest of your life, right? But what about the couple who were the both of them, or let's say the woman, or even the man, doesn't matter, whichever one has just like a very high sex drive, you know? Like how does that work, you
Yeah,
know?
I mean, look, you can, it's fine. You can have a high sex drive, right? And I'm not saying not to have sex at all, right? But
Yeah,
just
for sure.
keep this in mind. If you have sex, if you used to have sex 5 times a week, 10 times a week, 2 times a day, 3 times a day, right? Understand that that pace naturally is going to die down no matter how high your sex drive is. You see what I'm saying? Like, y'all not going to be humping each other realistically that much time for the rest of your lives. Because what happens when people naturally get used to something stimulating all the time? You get numb. You see what I'm saying? Eventually, you're going to get numb. Right? Now, you can keep things interesting. Like, okay, so people, because like for me, like I have a high sex drive, right? You can keep things interesting by changing stuff up in the bedroom or changing where you have sex and doing all that stuff. But it all comes down to the fact that the number of times that you do have sex will eventually decrease. And more often times than not, it goes all the way down to 0 times.
God, that sounds so sad.
No, it's true though. It's true. Because you do it so much that it no longer stimulates you. And all of a sudden, you know what that becomes? It becomes more of a companionship than a
I
man.
get that. And mind you, I've experienced it, and it is the most depressing thing.
Right.
Really, only because then I'm not even gonna get into that. I'm not
Right.
gonna get
No, but it's
into
true, right? So
it. I can't, like,
yeah. So now, right? So you guys are having sex a lot, and you're loving it, and the honeymoon phase is there, and you guys are doing it, doing it, doing it. Then eventually, one person, because don't get it twisted and think both of you are gonna like become numb at the same time, right? One person is gonna become numb before the next person. That's usually what happens. Like, you're not gonna equally become numb to sex at the same time. Like, that's almost unrealistic, right? So what I'm trying to say is that for one, either the man or the woman, usually it's the woman, she's gonna start not wanting to have. Because remember, think about it for a woman from a woman perspective. A woman have access to sex naturally, right? Like, she has access without, I'm talking about without marriage. She has access to sex. Like, she can have sex whenever she wants, right? A guy typically can't have sex whenever they want unless they have status or something like that, right? Which is not most guys. So you went from having total access to sex all your life to only having access to one person sex, right? Now, that's fine for a long period of time, but after a while, you're gonna start looking at it like a chore, right? It's gonna start becoming more of work to you because you grow numb to this one dick, right? Whereas
So
when you were younger, you could have had any amount of dick that you wanted, right? So now it's just this one person. The guy has the same moves. He does everything the same way, right? He has sex with you on the bed in missionary all the time, right? And eventually you're just laying
So
there. What was that?
I said that's so sad.
No, it's true. And that's why I said what I said earlier, that the what you don't want is routine, right? Because it's so easy to develop routine and to fall in routine and to be entangled in the trap of routine. That's what kills everything. So that's why you want to make it to where, okay, my wife is gonna let me, I want sex from my wife, right? And I don't want her to feel like she has to give it up because I want it all the time, right? Because eventually you're gonna just start becoming disgusted at me. Imagine having sex with somebody you don't want to have sex with at all now. Like, imagine that. Just in your current state, imagine somebody telling you you have to have sex with me, right? For the rest of your life. And there's nothing you can do about it. You just have to. Eventually you're gonna start just ugh to that person, like, you know what I'm saying?
I get
Now
it.
but say that person is actually doing stuff that makes you wanna give them sex,
Yeah, then
then
it's easier. Yeah, it
that's
makes
different.
you.
'Cause now you're like, okay, yeah, here you go. You know what I'm saying? It keeps things interesting, right? So, and that's something that I had to learn, to where, because I was that person who was always expecting my wife to just, because you married me, you're supposed to, like, that, here's that word supposed to again, right? You married me, we're supposed to have sex all the time, right? That's how it's supposed to go. But there's no such thing, right? At the end of the day, you have to understand that you both are human beings, and you both get stimulated this with sex, and you both can become numb to each other when it comes to sex. For guys, a lot of guys can't even stand the, after a few years, they can't even stand the look of their wives. Like, that's why guys have mistresses and all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because she doesn't do anything to keep it interesting for them, right? She doesn't wear different lingerie. She doesn't let them try anal or whatever the case may be. You know what I'm saying?
Really. that's very hard for me to swallow. And I get it, you know, coming from your perspective, definitely with you being married and things of that nature, or just giving advice or whatever. Like if you were to give advice to yourself, like you said, for sure, I am a totally different person. Like, I don't think I would ever see sex as a chore. And this is just me. I'm not married. It can change. And maybe, you know, if it does, I'll laugh at this episode. Like, yeah, he said that, right? But right now, or I don't want to say right now, just me as a person, I know, like, I have a very high sex drive, and I would love for the person who I'm in love with, you know, who I'm attracted to, not just physically, but in every other aspect, a respectful person and whatever. Of course, like you said, doing things here and there, and those are small things. Like, you can easily, you know, come in and put the kids to bed, and I'm like, oh shit. Like, or you can come in and there's, like, you know, a couple dishes in the sink from the kids eating, and you wash it, and I'm like, oh shit. Or you put, you know, some laundry in the damn the washer. Like, those are small things that makes me like, oh, okay, I want to, you know, do that. Those are acts of service, right? But I never want to get to a point where I feel like it's a chore and I don't want to, you know, be intimate with my husband. Like, I feel like, you know, in my marriage, because every marriage is different, that I would love to before my husband goes to work in the morning, especially if he's leaving out to go to work. Even if we don't have sex, like, I'm going, you know, I'm doing something.
Yeah, you definitely know? Want to keep him healthy, right?
Yeah, you.
No, I get that.
You getting something before you leave out of here, and then, you know, before you go to bed. Like, that's just me, and that's just not for you. That's not for him. It's also for my pleasure. But that's also because I'm a pleaser. Some women are not like that. A lot of women are different. A lot of men are different. When it comes to those situations. And I'm not just a pleaser, like, as far as sexual wise, I'm a, as a person, as a whole, that's my persona, you know? I get gratitude from that. I don't know why. This is just how I am. Yeah,
no, I understand.
And,
yeah, like, I'm the same. That's part of the reason why, you know, I've always been able to make different women have orgasms, right? Because, you know, when you're enthusiastic about pleasing the next person, that turns them on, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why I've always been able to, you know, like, get women to climax or whatever. But my thing is, right, and what you're saying is completely true. But let me ask you this. I'll put it like this. What's your favorite thing to eat?
I know what you're gonna say. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
I can eat pasta every fucking day for the rest of my life. All right.
See? Okay, cool. Go actually try that and see what's gonna happen. You see what I'm saying? So like, to keep yourself loving something, you can't always give yourself like, to keep yourself loving something, you can't overstimulate yourself. Because if you overstimulate yourself, then it's like listening to that song on the radio that you love when the first 100 times you heard it, but you heard it 1,000 times now, and it's like, get the hell off the radio, right? Now it starts to annoy you. But it's just one of those things, right? Because like I said, I'm there with you. Like, I am, like, I'm a nympho when it comes to sex. Like, I always want to have sex. Like when I have sex 5 minutes later, when I have sex again. Right? Like, right. So I'm that person. And from other relationships that I've been in, that's usually the case. And you never really see the long run until you've been in a very long-term relationship, like a marriage, right? Now you kind of have to. It's kind of like running a race, right? Like, you can't you want to win the race. You can't just run fast all you want. You have to pace yourself, right? And that's what it is. Like, at the end of the day, yes, it's something that you love, but you have to control the dosage of what you take in, right?
For
Because
sure.
otherwise, you will grow numb to it,
Right.
And then don't get me wrong, that's why, and a lot of people do start off with that, and they eventually get numb and they're seeking that same thrill that they once had, and that's why a lot of people step out of their marriage, which is why, it's one thing to also be real with yourself and be real with your spouse and let them know that, hey, if we're in a marriage together, right? And I'm a big fan of not letting society define what you do in life by whatever standards they have, right? If you're in a marriage together, you guys make your own rules, right? And
Oh, for sure.
if you guys can communicate on that level and you guys feel like you want to spice things up and you guys feel like you can handle it, shit, invite somebody else in the bedroom with you, right? I mean, as long as I feel like you're good, as long as you communicate and you understand each other and you draw boundaries, right? So and that kind of keeps things stimulating. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about finding those things, but don't think that you're gonna have mad sex every day for the rest of your lives, without, because look, even though you might say you're gonna give him head every day before he goes to work, there might be sometimes eventually you're gonna be sucking his dick, and guess what? It's not standing up no more. And you're like, what the hell is wrong with you? And he's
Oh,
just gonna look at you
please.
and be like, I just don't feel good no more.
Damn.
No, it's true though. You
Damn,
get what I'm
I get
saying?
it. I get it. No,
Because
I get it.
he's used to that.
But see, damn, that's depressing. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I don't want to think about that. Like, I don't. I'm sorry. I can't. Like, because when you're, I've been through that. I've been through the whole living in the same and not like. Fucking like, bro, I can't do it. 'Cause then you know what comes with that? It comes with the person coming to you, where you going to the person like, hey, why are we not doing this? And then excuses like, I'm tired, I got a headache, I'm working, I'm cramping,
Yeah,
whatever it
because
is,
that's dishonesty. The person's not being honest with you. And yeah.
but then cheating comes along.
Right,
'Cause
exactly.
and exactly, like you think I'm gonna keep going without sex? You think I'm gonna go 2 weeks and we live in the same house in a month and then 2 months? You gotta be fucking
Well,
kidding me.
let me ask you this though, right? Let me ask you this. See, that's what happens when the person is dishonest with you. But what if the person actually tells you and say, hey, really, the reason why is because I want to have sex with you, but I just need something different. I'm not as turned on anymore. What does that do, right? That puts the ball in both y'all court to decide how you
For
proceed.
sure.
You see what I'm saying? So now y'all can decide, okay, do we invite somebody else? Do we go off on an adventure? Do we do something different that we never done before? Do we go to like a glory hole? Do we go to a sex club? Do we go, you know what I'm saying? All these things, right? But at least you guys can make that decision together, right? Rather than, so that's one of the reasons why I feel like I've been different from other men, for most men, because my perspective on lying to women has been changed since I was a child. And I say that to say this, I'm just give you a quick story real fast. It won't take long, right? When I was a kid, my older brothers, because this is not the youngest, they used to ask me to go talk to girls for them, right? And what did that do for me? That made me not shy of talking to girls. All that shy got that shyness gone away, right? That's what most men struggle with. And then after that, of course, I was doing what most men do, which is lie to girls to get what they want. But then I start realizing that, damn, when I tell these girls the truth, they still give me what the hell I want. So, like, I would be talking to Simone, to Keisha, to Nicole, and I tell them all that I'm talking to each of them, and I'm having sex with each of them, and Susan comes and I tell Susan that Susan still has sex with me. Right? So I'm like, what the hell? Why am I lying? I'm not going to lie no more. Right? And I found that out as a little kid. Right? So with that being said, I realized that, man, my philosophy in life is don't choose someone's evil for them. Right? And what I mean by that is don't lie to somebody because you want an outcome. Right? Don't tell somebody a lie because you want to control the outcome of the situation, right? Put it in their hands by telling them the harsh truth. And then let them decide how they want to proceed. More often than not, you might be surprised by what they say.
This is a fact. That's a fact. And I think the deeper you get into a relationship or whatever, you know, situation it is, the more you guys are becoming one when it comes to adding another person. Or sometimes one of the mindsets are like that, like, no, you know, when honestly it shouldn't be that way. It should be a, you know what, let me take some time to consider that
and look, know? Right. And guess what? Look, if you decide that it's a no, if I come to you and I'm like, hey, listen, I can't get hard no more. It's not because I'm tired. It's not because I'm have something on my mind. That's what usually guys say, right? It's not because it's because, like, I'm just not turned on as much anymore. Right? Which is, gosh damn it, that's just you being a human being. You're not freaking doing anything wrong by saying that, right? Now, if that's the case, and I tell you that, and I say, and you say, you know what do you think I could do different, right? If I give you options, and option doesn't necessarily have to mean stepping outside or going to get somebody else. It could just mean, hey, let's have sex in the park. Let's wear lingerie. Like, but if I give you that option and you're like, hell no, then guess what? You made your choice. Now respect mine. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it comes down to, right? I was open and honest with you, and I tell you that this is what I need to kind of regain some stimulation. And you said, no, you can't expect me to sit there and just not have fun sex anymore for the rest of my life. No, it's not going to happen. I tell you this, you don't like it, then I'm going to go do that. And you should feel relief because I'm not doing it behind your back without you knowing it, right? Because I wasn't deceptive. I told you straight up what it was, right? And then guess what? If you're totally against the person going to have sex with other girls or other men or wherever, then you know that you're at a point, you're at a crossroad in your relationship, and that's okay, right? You're just at a crossroads where you guys have to both go your own way, because you're not going to stay in a relationship where it's no longer pleasing to you. Like, I would not stay in a relationship where I'm not getting any sexual gratifications at all. No, I'm going to tell you straight up that's the case. I'm going to tell you how I think we can help this relationship, and if you don't want it, and guess what, it could be something as simple as, damn, let me do you in the ass, right? Maybe something as simple as that, right? And because you're like, from your background, you're like, hell no, that's not for that, right? And no, I ain't gonna do that, right? And it's like, okay, cool, well, understand that we I'll are find not somebody gonna else to have do any, it. Right? So you need to get that, and it's not that I'm being mean or not like that. I'm just being real with you. Right? So you made your choice. Respect my choice. I respect yours. That's what it comes down to. Right? And I think people are afraid to tell each other that truth And that's why they rather, you know what, let me go behind your back and do it instead. And it just becomes like, it's more work, it's more frustration, it's more dangerous, right? It's like you can avoid all that by just being honest. I tell my wife, one of the reasons why I got with her or married her is because I know that she's open to that possibility eventually, right? If we need to do that, she's adventurous. Like, if I felt like my wife was a very close-minded person, we would have never gotten married. Like, I have to know that if it comes down to it, you're open-minded enough and we can continue our relationship. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's always supposed to be.
Yeah. That's really what it is. Lot of hard pills to swallow.
I know. We are at the end of this episode, guys. So I'm going to end this off with the drink of the day, and it is called the Bad Idea. And this is the low-key love child of a margarita and a chelada, tequila, triple sec, lime, and an ice cold beer. You guys can find this recipe on Pinterest and on tasty.com. I thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. And again, I'm your host, Sam, and we're here today with Kamar. And yeah, bye.